Sponsorship of the Be Our Guest podcast is brought to you by the great folks over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until that next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Right now, as I glance down at my iPhone 6, I can see that I'm down to a mere 5 days to go until we head down to Walt Disney World and sail with the Disney Cruise Line. In this app, Days to Go WDW has kept me sane for the last few months because every day I could count down to this great vacation right along with my family. And we've had a great time looking at the pictures, talking about the memories we're going to make next week. And you can do the same. It really does extend out the excitement for your next Walt Disney World vacation. So check out Days to Go WDW and other great Disney apps. Turn your iOS device into a Disney device. Check them out today over at virtualmickey.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1025 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Cannot wait. This is the longest week of my life, as everybody who is a Disney fan knows. When you're within 1 week of heading down to Walt Disney World or a Disney cruise or Disneyland, whatever Disney destination you choose, man, I just want to go. Like, I just want to hit the airport. That's Monday, but it'll be pretty soon, so I'm just really excited here to get to see my good friends, the Gardeners, have a great vacation down to Coronado Springs and Animal Kingdom Lodge and sail in the Disney Dream. It's going to be epic, and can't wait to see so many of you down there at the Be Our Guest Podcast meetups. Also, something kind of fun today. Let me get Ricky in here. Ricky's from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and the Mouse for Less. What's up, Ricky? Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How are you tonight?
I'm great. You know what? Right before we started recording tonight, I was checking the inbox because obviously today we're doing listener questions and that's where they all end up. But I got an email within the last hour from Disney Cruise Line. Of course, we're sailing in about 2 weeks, saying that I can sign up for some meet and greets before, actually online on DisneyCruise.com before I get online. I think that's something new. So I'm excited for that. I'm hoping it's Anna and Elsa because I know that's the big one you got to have tickets for.
Absolutely. I think that's awesome. Good doing, Disney. You know, I know that they've been doing the that you can get tickets to meet some characters, but I thought that you had to get them on the cruise ship. So that's awesome that they're doing it ahead of time, that you can know that you're set and locked in. It's kind of like FastPass, but, you know, FastPass Plus. You're locked in. You're ready to go. Let's do this.
Well, it did say, and I just read it again just a second ago, that it's because I'm a Gold Castaway Club member, so maybe they're kind of trickling it down from, like, platinum to gold to silver.
Maybe. That
you know,
could be
it's like just a, and that's a perk, and I mean, I appreciate that, but I know that in recent history, it's been as soon as you get on board, you got to rush and get those tickets for the meet and greets and so forth, because you got, you know, I'm more worried about the tequila tasting and the mixology class, to be honest. But
you know. And as you should be, yes.
I'm just saying, I don't drink much, but when I'm on the ship, there's no chance of harm. You know what? Captain Steubing's got it, so it's all good.
Yes.
All right. Also joining us from where the Stanley Cup will reside here in a short week or so, I'm hoping, we have Pam Forrester, co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel. What's up, Pam?
From your lips to God's ears. Let's just say that. Oh, the other game the other night was, you know, nail biter. But anyways, yeah, I mean, Pittsburgh is a buzz, I will just say. Steve and I were actually in the city last weekend. We spent the night there because we have an annual arts festival that happens each year that we've been going to since we were in college, which is a very long time ago. I know, right? So anyways, but we were in the city checking out the Science Center, and the Pirates were in town and we're playing there. So we were staying down there and checked out some really kind of hip new places in the city. Pittsburgh is a happening place lately. Let me tell you, it is just so much fun to be at. And I can't wait to see the Stanley Cup's finals just be done. Oh, my gosh. This is why I can't watch hockey all the time. The officiating is maddening. It's so inconsistent, and there's things that you're just like, what the heck is going on? But anyways, you know, what can you do, right? So
I know, and I'm a hockey player from way back. I mean, I ran a skating rink in high school and college and played hockey every day. And, you know, I have fake front teeth because of hockey. I mean, it was my own guy, too, by the way, Mike Keyes. Thanks for high-sticking me and knocking my teeth out years ago. But anyway, you know, the thing is, like, I tell Pam, like, when the Blues were in the Stanley Cup playoffs, like, there's nothing fun about watching your team in the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's like, it just gives you an ulcer. It's ridiculous.
Yep.
Like, there's nothing fun about it. It's like, I just want to have a heart attack the whole time.
It's absolutely true. And just, you know, and Steve will say, he'll try to remind me, well, they try not to call too many penalties, you know, during the finals. I'm like, I don't want to hear that. Are you kidding me? Like, they're getting tripped left and right. That happens almost every play. Oh, my gosh. So anyways, but it's, you know, it is still a fun thing to see. And it's exciting for Pittsburgh. I mean, they're definitely a sports town. And, you know, they love when someone is doing great. So,
yeah, our Cards are in town this weekend for a series with the Bucks. So we'll have to see what happens. Battle for second place in the Central, unfortunately. It's not looking pretty with the Cubs.
Not pretty.
Nah, we'll see. There's still the Cubs, and it's early. Anyway, let's get to the listener questions. That's why
I was going to say, did this turn into the sports hour again?
I could totally do that. I could totally do that. Anyway, Julia has our first question. She says, hello, I recently found your podcast and have greatly enjoyed listening to your current and back episodes. I particularly enjoy listening to the trip reports. Well, thanks so much, Julia. And I hope you guys really enjoyed this past Monday show where we had a gentleman who took some, they're Disney vets. They took some first-timers down to Walt Disney World. Saw their son, who was on the college program, who was in custodial, and just embraced that role and made the most of it. I got lots of great comments already in the last couple days over that show. So thanks. You know, we love those folks that come on our Monday shows to share those trip reports. It really does kind of take you there in between trips. Hope you enjoyed that one. Anyway, Julie has a question. She says, I have a question regarding ADRs. My friend is planning a last-minute trip to Walt Disney World. I saw an opening for breakfast at Be Our Guest this morning, the morning that she is in the Magic Kingdom, so I quickly booked it. Is there a way to transfer that reservation to her? Can I do that if we connect our accounts? Is there any other way to get her the reservation other than taking the risk of canceling it when she is at the computer to try to book it into her account? Thanks for making such a great podcast. Best, Julia. All right, Pam, what's the word on transferring ADRs?
It just, there's no guarantees. If it's someone that you're close friends with, I'd just show up and say, I'm so-and-so, and be that person.
I'm Pam Forster, and I have a reservation here tonight.
Yeah, that's fine. You can do it. I mean, but you know what I mean? If you especially take the reservation with you, the number, so that you know. I mean, that is perfectly legit. As far as other stuff, you know, being, sometimes it works out so that you can do it, but sometimes it just doesn't. It's a nail biter. It's like the Stanley Cup finals.
Yeah, it is.
No, it is. There's just no good way to do it.
And I'll say, you know, kind of piggybacking on that, I know that a lot of guests will, you know, I help a lot of folks book vacations and I'm very thankful for that. But there's a lot of instances where there's no availability on a resort. Well, somebody will cancel because something happens. And the thing is a lot of times with the room reservations, for example, in the Disney system, they won't immediately come back into the inventory. Like if I cancel it, I can't say 5 seconds later, 1 minute later, that that's going to show up as an available room within that category for somebody. Sometimes it can take up to 24 hours. And I'm sure that's probably how the ADR system is. I would doubt that it's an immediate type thing. Would you think, Pam, you have more experience than I?
Well, I think it is more immediate than the reservation system, than the rooms. And sometimes rooms never come back into, you know, availability because it's actually overbooked in overbooked status. And they're counting on some of that attrition to, you know, reduce the number of people booked. But the dining system is a little different. And it actually does. Sometimes when you release something, it comes right back into play. I can't say it happens all the time, but it is a better chance, at least, than the reservation. So that's something you can think of. And it's worth a try. I mean, it is worth a try. But the other thing is, you know, that do what I said if you know that person well enough. So
yeah, that's it. They're probably not going to give you a background check. Maybe be our guest. Probably not at, what's it called in China? I always forget. Not Lotus Blossom, but
Nine Dragons.
Nine Dragons, yeah.
Nine Dragons.
No, they're like, oh, yeah, come in and eat. It's fine.
Yeah, okay, come on.
All right, the next question comes from James. He's in Evansville, Indiana. It says, Mike, we're going down to Walt Disney World June 2nd to the 5th. Hope you had a great trip. This will be a very quick trip. We are doing one day at the water parks and one day at the theme parks. My question is, there will be three of us, and I was thinking about booking the Ultimate Day of Thrills VIP tour. With my DVC discount, it will cost $875 without park tickets. Is this worth it? Love the show, and Zaxby's is opening in Evansville, Indiana in May. All right, so got a reason to visit Evansville now, another Zaxby's. But Ricky, what do you know about this Ultimate Day of Thrills VIP tour? Man, that $875 with a DVC discount and not including a park ticket? Man, I don't even know about this one.
Yeah, so I'm trying to pull up the tours. Yeah,
go ahead. Ricky's doing that, let me tell you that when we were down for our agent education program last, this was actually one of the things that we got to talk about. Now, we did the VIP tour, but we talked a lot about this, the Ultimate Days of Thrills. And basically what you're getting is the top like e-ticket attractions at each park. Mm-hmm. And you basically get you don't have to use the FastPass system, but you basically walk on or enter the FastPass entrance to the attractions, these top attractions at each of the parks. So if it's something that's important to you, like you're like, okay, I just want to bang all these out, absolutely, especially on a shorter trip, I think that you could, you know, really do well with this.
Is it eight? Okay. Is it $875 a person?
No,
it's like that would be for his family.
That's for the whole family. Yeah. So it's they're going for the I'm guessing the Ultimate Day of Thrills, the VIP, the adult one, because there is one as well for young families as well. But the one that they're going for has the thrill seeker in mind, and guests will have the opportunity to ride Big Thunder Mountain, Splash Mountain, Space Mountain, Haunted Mansion, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, and Pirates of the Caribbean. Then after lunch at a table service location at one of the Disney's resorts, you'll go to Hollywood Studios where you'll ride Rock and Roller Coaster, Star Tours, Tower of Terror, and Toy Story Midway Mania. And then you'll head to Disney's Animal Kingdom where you'll ride Expedition Everest and Dinosaur. It takes place on Sunday, Tuesday, and Friday at 8:15. That's the check-in time. It's about 7 hours long. It's $2.99 per person plus tax. That includes lunch. Park admission is required in addition. And it's ages 10 and up. So that is pretty much what we know. And yeah, there's discounts for Disney Visa, DVC, and annual pass holders.
So I'm guessing you would call WDW Tour to book that.
Yes. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. If you think about it, okay, so this may sound... Okay, let's think about this for a second.
I know what you're going to say, because my next question was, okay, take the three of us. Okay, so take the three of us. Would we combine, would we do this as a group if we really wanted to have a splurge day for $300?
All right, so here's what I was thinking. So you didn't get where I was going. Okay, so the 2-3 hours in the Magic Kingdom at night where you have all the rides to yourself. Okay, that was, what, $150? And you could only do as many rides as you could get in that, you know, time period. This is guaranteeing you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 attractions for an a meal for an extra $150 per person, and it's 7 hours. I don't know I can't believe I'm saying
these
words.
Could be a bargain.
I know, it could be a bargain. Like, I can't believe these words are coming out of my mouth, because we know me and I'm married to the cheapest man alive. But seriously, if you were considering that $150 for the 3 hours in the Magic Kingdom at night, I'm telling you, this might be worth it. So I might, if I was considering the $150, I might consider this. Just saying.
Well, if you consider that your meal, your sit down, because it said a table service meal, so that's going to be at least $30.
Yeah, but it doesn't say where. So,
I mean, it's $30.
At least it's not Tony's Town Square. Let's put it that
way. Hey, I'm eating there next week. Easy now.
Sorry.
Easy. No, but actually, when this was announced, I kind of remember it now. I heard that it might be Whispering Canyon where you eat.
Okay. All right. See, that's a little bit better. Whispering Canyon's good. So
it could be. I mean, if you really, yeah, seriously, Pam, you make a good point. Ricky as well. I mean, if you have limited time, but you really want to, you know, like you want to see the best of the best, and really, you know, time is money. This is the biggest ever example of time is money. But I mean, it's not outrageous.
No. It's not.
Well, you'd have
I mean, it sounds outrageous at first. Let's be honest. At first, it sounds really crazy. But then when you actually sit down and think about it, maybe it's not so crazy. So, I don't know. I can't believe these words are coming out of my mouth. I would potentially consider it if the situation was right in which that was a necessary thing to do. Let's put it that way.
All right. Well, let us know what you did and what you thought it, because obviously the trip just happened. So do write in with a mini trip report. Tell us what your decision was. All right. Next question comes from Tony. And he says, hello, BOGP crew. Tony from Marietta, Ohio here again. I was just recently reading an article online about the refillable mugs, and a couple of things confused me a little. Was hoping you all could clear it up for me. This article stated the mugs could be used unlimited at any resort. I assume this means your home resort, as that is the way it was originally, correct? The second item was, if you go to a counter service restaurant for a meal, you could get a bottle of water with your meal and fill it up with your cup at the drink station, saving your water for later use in the park. Here again, I guess I'm basing that on my assumption the mug can only be used at your home resort. Any help or advice is greatly appreciated. Thanks so much, Tony. All right, let's get Ricky. Let's take a stab at this one. So what's the story on the refillable mugs? Is it just your home resort like it used to? Well, again, the rules were so, they used to be just kind of, you know, it was almost like honor system back in the day. Now they have the chips.
Right. So now with the chip will allow you to go, I believe, to any counter service location at a resort and refill your mug. So that's good news. It does have a timer on it. Obviously, it will tell you, hey, you can't refill it in a super fast fashion. So, you know, you can't go 30 seconds later and, you know, fill up your cup again, whatever, if you're a really fast drinker or something like that. There is a time limit on it. But as far as I understand, you can go to any resort and fill up your mug, as long as it's in that time window that you have your refillable mug purchased for.
So. Is that what you think too, Pam? Because I haven't gotten one in the last couple of years, to be honest.
Yep, you absolutely can. You can use it at any resort that has a refillable mug station, but you cannot use it at the parks, and you never could. If I'm understanding the second question. But the one thing that some do when they have a meal plan is if they're bringing, you know, water, or if they're just going to get the free cup of water that is available at most counter service locations with their meal. In some locations you can get a bottle, but that's not going to work at every location because like most counter service restaurants don't also have bottles available. They may for some drinks, but not most of the things that, come from the soda fountain, like, you know, soda. So anyways, that's not something that you'll be able to do in all locations. If you were though at the resorts, they do have, more bottles available, and you could pick that to have with your meal.
All right, good deal, Tony. Thanks for the question. And Mark and Debbie Yider are in the chat again. We do broadcast live on Facebook Monday evenings, usually around 6:30 Central. We try to get going, and they say that they had free cups of ice water at all the quick service restaurants they went to recently, and they were just sitting on the counter at most of the restaurants. And they stayed at Art of Animation and got refills at Animal Kingdom Lodge with their mugs. So there you go. Backing up. I love when our listeners help us out. That's why we love doing this on live on Facebook. It's like crowdsourcing everything, getting some background there. So thank you.
Makes us seem really smart.
All right. It does. It does. I know. Next is a question from Amanda. She's in Atlanta. She says, let's see. Ugh, I sent this message from the work email the first time. So here's the original message. Hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. Now I'm nervous. Hope I'm reading the right one. I have a question about our September trip, and I'd love to hear each of your opinions. Which fireworks are the best, Epcot's Illuminations or Hollywood Studios' new Star Wars fireworks? On our fourth and last day, we'll be visiting Hollywood Studios and Epcot. It'll be our second half day in Epcot. I was originally thinking about going to Hollywood Studios in the morning, then take the boat to Boardwalk, switch boats, and head to Epcot for dinner and fireworks. But I keep hearing great things about the fireworks at Hollywood Studios, and I'm wondering, should I switch it around? Epcot in the morning and lunch, and then head to Hollywood Studios for the afternoon fireworks. Here's more info on who we are and what is already planned for our trip. So keep that stewing in your brain, but here's what they have going on. They're there September 24th through the 29th. They're staying at the Polynesian. Our group consists of my husband and me, our 9-year-old daughter, and our 9-year-old niece. We all really like Star Wars, and the four of us watch the latest movie together. Day one's Magic Kingdom, dinner at Ohana, watch the Hallowishes from the Polynesian. Day two, enjoy the resort in the morning, Epcot in the afternoon. We'll leave before Illuminations to be able to get an early start the next morning. Day three, Animal Kingdom, enjoy the resort in the afternoon. And day four, Epcot and Hollywood Studios or Hollywood Studios and Epcot. Thanks for your opinions and for your great podcast. It's always fun when I see a new Be Our Guest podcast listed in my podcast app. Thank you so much, Amanda from Atlanta. It's just P.S. I'm using a great travel agent, Deb, from a travel agency called The Magic for Less Travel. Ever heard of it? Pam, you've probably heard of that once or twice, right?
Yeah, we've heard of Deb, perhaps.
Yeah, I've heard Deb's not too bad at what she does over there.
I've never heard of her ever. Yeah,
Deb does a pretty good job taking care of a lot of good guests over at the Magic for Less. So you got a good one there. So good stuff. Okay, so this is like a quandary. As I read on, here's what I'm going to say, then I'm going to throw it out to you because I usually let you guys go first. But I kind of have an opinion on this one. They're there for 4 days. Well, they gave kind of a 4 day plan. And the one thing they said is that they're going to go to Epcot in the afternoon, but they're going to leave before Illuminations. If somehow, because again, your time is so valuable on your Disney vacation, if you could squeeze out Illuminations somehow and just like suck it up and not sleep as much that night, then Illuminations is covered. Because my answer, and I haven't even seen the new show yet, it's going to premiere while we're down there in a couple weeks. Can't wait. But you watch The Force Awakens together. You're Star Wars fans. And I've seen the original, you know, the show that's playing right now is amazing. This, the music, the fireworks, and this one with the projections is going to be incredible. The big lightsaber in the sky. I mean, the twin suns of Tatooine. I'm like geeking out right now. I haven't even seen it, and it's probably the best fireworks
Nerd
show in
alert.
History. This is going to be the best fireworks show ever, and I haven't even seen it. So I would say Star Wars. Pam, is the Force with you? Are you going to be with me on Dagobah and go with Star Wars?
Yeah, I am. No question. Look, I love the existing Star Wars fireworks so much that these new ones, like, I'm trying to figure out, I'm looking at my schedule when we're going to be down there for a short time in June to see everyone there, and then we're going back in July again for Han's birthday. And I'm like, okay, how often can I fit these in? Like, would be seeing it every night be too much? Or, you know, I mean, it's just going to be a great show. And I can't wait to see it. So
let's put it this way. I've been researching this thing. It's called Amazon Pantry because, Pam, I've joined Prime now. I'm a convert.
Hello.
So I know. So I'm going to get groceries delivered to the rooms. I'm going to get a 12-pack of Depends because I'm going to pee my pants when these fireworks go off.
Oh, my
so.
Goodness.
Did that just happen?
I'm just saying.
Pretty sure it did.
I wasn't a Boy Scout, but I want to be prepared. These fireworks are going to be that good. So I'm just saying, be ready. All right, Ricky, take it over before I give too much information yet again.
You already gave way.
You pulled a Ricky.
Oh, wow. I mean, I think that even beats some things I've said. But anyway, you know, I'm going to go for broke and also say Star Wars. I can't believe I'm saying Star Wars because y'all know how much I love Illuminations. But I think that that's going to be better for your family. And I think that the new show is going to be just stellar, amazing, incredible, lots and lots of adjectives. So I'm going to say Star Wars as well. So, yeah, even though I think that, you know, I think Illuminations is awesome, but
it's
going
to be, you need Depends good. That's how I'm going to describe it from now on.
Oh my gosh. That should be the total new tagline for Star Wars fireworks. So good. You need Depends.
That's it. Synergy, baby. They just get them to sponsor the show. You know how like Pandora sponsors Wishes or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
That'd be great. Let's move on here before we get
yes,
into more trouble.
Please,
Stephanie's bailing us out. She says, hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. Your podcast is great, and I always enjoy listening to it every week. We're traveling back to the world this September with my soon-to-be 10-year-old son with high-functioning autism. My daughter is 7, and my husband, father, mother-in-law, and father-in-law. Wow, this is a crew. My immediate family and father are all staying at Art of Animation in the car suite. The last time we went to the world in 2013, my son was having a hard time with some behaviors, and we struggled to really enjoy our vacation. We used the GAC, but did not use a touring plan. My son is in a much better place, and we're all looking forward to going back to the world and enjoying all the different rides. My question is, does anyone have any recommendations using the DAS and a touring plan together? Thanks to everyone's motivation, I'm running at least a 5K a few days a week. I ran the Princess 10K in half in 2015. I would like to run while we're staying at Art of Animation. Any recommendations? Thank you, Stephanie. She's in Willow Spring, North Carolina. Places down the south, they always have the coolest names. Like, I live in Florissant. Like, it's an old this French name, like 1700s, I think. But, like, Willow Spring, that just sounds like I want to live in Willow Spring. It just sounds like it's pretty. I don't know. Anyway, so I'm going to go with her second question. First of all, congratulations on your running. That is awesome. And I'm so proud of all of our lizards. I don't get to say that on the podcast enough. Every weekend, every day, I see the Facebook group and people are crushing it and doing things they didn't think they could ever do. So I just want to give a huge shout out to all 700 plus lizards. You guys are killing it. But Stephanie, congratulations on getting out there and doing the 10K and the half, on running, you know, a few times a week. That's awesome. And if you're staying at Art of Animation, you're staying at one of the best places to run at Walt Disney World. You run around Hourglass Lake. You run over to Pop Century, around Pop Century and Art of Animation. It's beautiful. It's about a 1 mile loop. It's got the New Balance, tips for running, and there's signs to read on the Pop Century side as well as on the Art of Animation side about the animation process. You'll love it. So just run right there at your resort and grab a shower and you'll be good to go. So let's go with best recommendations for using the DAS and a touring plan together. Pam, what would you offer? It sounds like they're going in September, so I think that's a great first step because you're avoiding the huge, huge crowds.
I agree. It is. And I think one of the greatest things with the DAS pass is that they've taken that ability to make the Fast Pass Plus reservations for your DAS onto the app, which they didn't used to do in the past. And I think that's made a world of difference for so many people that have done with that. And I think in terms of a touring plan, I think what you're going to want to do is have a discussion to find out about which of the attractions are the most important for everyone in your party to do. Because I think as if with any group, that's important to get that nailed down. So maybe you'll want to, you know, talk with your son about the attractions that he thinks are really important to do, that he'll want to do, so that you have that plan kind of set in stone before you go. The good news is you already have 3 fast passes that you know that you'll be able to get and reserve those in advance. So then you'll just have to narrow it down to as many other attractions as you think that your group can handle that day, and then go from that point. But I think that there's lots of room to, you know, add things, especially when you're using the DAS pass, and the flexibility is going to be the key.
That's great advice. Ricky, anything else to add?
I think Pam has it exactly 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I like that because they're using technology to make the experience better, which is kind of the bottom line, which is great. All right, let's get to the next question. I just hit the wrong button, of course. I got fat fingers here, and it comes from Holly. Hello, Be Our Guest Podcast. Next year, we're thinking about taking a group to Disney World, and I was wondering how exactly it works to book group dining reservations for possibly up to 50 people. Man, she's bringing a crew. Am I able to call just the regular dining number and make that reservation? Do you have suggestions for restaurants that might be better than others for this? Quick service and table service suggestions would be great. Thanks so much. Your podcast is the best. Holly. Well, thank you. And you're the best, Holly. We appreciate that. So, Pam, how does that work? 50 people, man. I mean, she's bringing like a few football teams there with her.
Yeah. So, I would like really see if everyone really wants to eat at the same time, because that may be, I mean, you may want to for some things, but I can't imagine all 50 people wanting to eat together at the same time. If you're trying to make for that many people, you're really going to have to be super flexible. And typically for larger groups, they're only going to give you the very first time for seating, which could very well be before 5 o'clock, or the last reservation that they'll take, which will be later on in the evening. If you break down into smaller groups, perhaps, and even if those groups have to change at different times, then like groups of 10 or things like that, you could, you know, work within the existing framework. But to just be like, I want to be able to seat 50 people at the same time, I think is going to be a real challenge. And I really think it's in your best interest to consider breaking down into 5 groups of 10, or even, you know, some other multiple of that, just for your sake. And just to keep everyone on the same page, I think even if you were able to get a reservation for 50, the chances that things are going to move smoothly with that, that's going to be really challenging for a restaurant, I will just say. A 50 tabletop, that's hard to do. So I think that it's better for you to look at different ways to work within their existing system.
I think that's it. Because, it's kind of like touring the parks with a group that large. I mean, it's just so many variables. And just to... like to have a section of the restaurant where you got everybody cleared out for 50 spots, that's going to be a challenge.
It really will be. And I'm just thinking about the food coming out. They're not used to having 50 at the same time coming out. There are a couple buffets that may work. So that's something to think about, like, because you don't have to worry about all the food coming out at one time. For 50 different people that ordered 50 different things. But, I really truly believe breaking things down is going to be beneficial to you.
Now, I have seen a lot of people have larger gatherings at Ohana, what are they called? The rehearsal dinners for weddings and stuff that are down there. I mean, but, you know, I think you just need to call the restaurant directly and see what you can get worked out. If they hold those back, and I'm sure you're going to pay a premium to do that, because that's just, it's a hard nut to crack for just a family of four trying to get in for dinner. So
absolutely.
Lots of challenges. All right. Next question. Good luck with that. Let's see. Next question is from Jamie Bunting. He says, "Hey, BOGP, I've never written in before, but I've listened to plenty of your podcasts. Love everyone. I've recently been struggling over whether or not to use a travel agent. I actually just sent Pam a very long-winded email about my situation. Anyways, I don't think you guys have touched on this very much for seasoned Disney travelers. I guess my question is, should you use a travel agent when you're a Disney control freak, love planning yourself, and know a lot about the ins and outs? You guys always speak so highly of the Magic for Less travel agents." Let's see. He says, "I didn't go through them. Maybe that was the problem. I thought I would use one for this trip for the first time. I feel like extra hands on deck for a complicated Disney trip could always help, but I was recently so frustrated and disappointed in our last agent I tried to work with, I ended up canceling the trip and doing it myself. Thanks for all the great Disney work you do." And I almost didn't read this one because in a way, it kind of sounds like it is a little self-serving, because obviously we have a relationship with the Magic for Less. But, Pam, I kind of wanted to touch on this because I think there is a reason, even as a Disney control freak, that you can book with a travel agent and kind of find a happy medium. So how do you answer this one for Jamie? Because, a lot of our listeners are kind of in the same boat. Everybody's listening to podcasts. You know what's going on. You're a huge fan. So what say you to this kind of situation?
So I think, the phrase that you so often is that we're your partner in planning. And I think that's a great way to think about it, because we can do as much or as little as you want. We're not going to be like, oh, no, you booked with us, so we need to do this, this, and this for you. That's not really how we go. If you want to do your dining, if you want to do Fast Pass, if you want to do any of these other things, absolutely go ahead and do that. That's totally fine. I think one of the ways that a travel agent comes into, the picture is we're actually your advocate. In so many ways when working with Disney and other suppliers, in that, this is not, our lead off what we lead with, but some of you may experience some challenges in working with the Disney system. I know, right? Shocking for all you experienced people, but what we can do is help advocate for you when you run into situations like that. And we can say to you, I'm sorry, you got some bad information from Disney. Let's, work this out together. We'll find a way to help you to the best of our ability. At this point, we've pretty much seen and done it all. I hate to say that because some situation will come up tomorrow that we haven't seen.
Don't say that. Come on now.
But we've been doing it since 2002. We've seen all these changes happen during this time, and we've seen so many different situations. So we have contacts at Disney that we can certainly reach out to and help us should the need be. But we also are just someone that if you want to, you can bounce some ideas off of us. Like, okay, here's what I'm running into, or here's what I'm thinking. What do you think about this plan? Or, whatever. And then in the end too, the discount thing, I think, is something that we all really pride ourselves on being there, be it at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning or whatever time the discount is released, we're there. So I mean, you know, that's something that I think that we can take off your plate. But there are just, I think that we all enjoy finding a way to be helpful to our guests. And for each guest, that's different. But it's a joy to kind of figure out that. So
totally agree. And, it, you know, the thing is, too, with the Magic for Less, because that's what I know. Obviously, that's what you know. We have very passionate and knowledgeable agents. We say that in the ad read all the time, but it is absolutely true. Like, for example, I'm heading down to Walt Disney World. You guys know I've been talking about it for like the last 3 years on Monday, and I can't wait. And I'm going to be gone for 2 weeks. But the thing is, it is truly a team where Jeanette and some of the other agents are going to be there just as if I'm here in the office taking care of every guest I've worked with. And you're going to get, the thing is with a team, you know, if something happens, a discount, some, you know, new availability comes out for 2017, which we're anticipating happening sometime. We don't know, but probably pretty soon, that there's always somebody there as your advocate, as your, you, like we say, your partner in planning. So you're not out there by yourself. And it really does help support the podcast personally here when you book with the Magic for Less. So, you know, I say give it a shot once. I think you're going to be impressed by the level of service you get. You still control your My Disney experience. You can still make your own ADRs if that's something you like to do. You can schedule your own fast passes. But it's just, you know, discounts, and you don't have to wait on hold. That's kind of the way I look at it. And you know, you're helping grow our podcast and help us keep the show going. So I say give it a shot once. I think you'll be impressed and go from there. You know, maybe if it's not for you, it's not. But, I, you know, most people, I think, have enjoyed the service over the years. So I like it. All right. Last question of the day comes from Ricky. Oh, no. It means it comes from Facebook. Says, just found your podcast and we love it. We are 37 days out and I'm so thankful I have such great insight from y'all for our trip in June. Question, we'll be using the Military Salute 4-day Park Hopper tickets. If I activate them at guest services location the night we arrive, we are hoping to activate them at Disney Springs when we arrive on Saturday evening before we plan to start the park touring. Would my day one of four start then? Trying to determine if I should wait until we arrive at the Magic Kingdom on Sunday to activate our tickets. And that is from Dana H. All right, Ricky, if you activate your tickets at Disney Springs that night, I don't think, now back me up, this is just my thinking, I don't think they'll start counting until you actually go through the touch points the next day, correct? Is it kind of like an annual pass? Is what I'm thinking?
It's exactly. They do not count until you actually, you know, use it at the touch point. So until you do Mickey to Mickey at the touch point, it doesn't count. So, because, you know, some people will... It's the same thing for if you have, for example, a 4-day ticket, but you're there for, say, 6 days. You know, you say you want to take the middle day and use that as a not park day. Well, it's not counting against you as a park day because you're not going into the parks. So you're not touching Mickey to Mickey. It's not counting. So you're good to go.
All right. Thanks so much for the great question, Dana. And thank you to your family for your service to our country. We love our military folks that are in our audience. So thank you so much for that. And that is going to put a wraps on today's Be Our Guest podcast question show. Thank you so much for all the great questions. Send in your questions to mike@beourguestpodcast.com. Be a part of the show right away. We're going to get to those. We're burning through a lot of them. We did our week of questions last week. Hope you enjoyed that. We just had to catch up. We're trying to, you know, we try to stay on top of it, but we get a lot of questions, but we love them. So keep sending them again to mike@beourguestpodcast.com. Today's episode here on a Wednesday is always brought to you by the great folks over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News Disney Edition. So when you want to know what's happening down at Walt Disney World, warning though, lately you're going to be hungry after you open this app within about 30 seconds because you got Sprinkles, you got SDK, you got... Ricky, I always forget the name of the place. The crepes. Arista Crepes. We were talking
Arista
about that.
Arista Crepes. Yes. All that stuff. Baby Wolf Sausage Company. You got new ones coming too. You got Frontera Cocina. I can't speak Spanish. I can speak this one. Homecoming. Because that's, you know, Art Smith's restaurant, so I can speak English, hopefully.
Do you know that I did not get the BB Wolf's like reference until like the fifth time I saw the picture, and then I was like,
really?
I get it now. That's so clever.
They have a platter that's the three little pigs.
No way. Are you kidding?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of twisted, but yeah.
It is twisted. Anyway, this.
He might have taken out the pigs. Whatever. It's cool. It's cool. It's fine.
I'm so
that's what he did.
I'm so getting my picture there on my vacation. Look like I'm trying to blow the place down when I get down there.
You should totally do that.
You'll see that on Instagram.
I should have done that while I was down there. That was a good idea. But it was so hot that day. I didn't feel like doing anything but walking and drinking water. So
anyway, we've derailed this virtualmickey.com ad read. But, you know, hey, that's the kind of stuff you're going to get when you go to virtualmickey.com. This is a great free iOS app, both official and unofficial news sources. Hey, it keeps you connected to your favorite place. So check them out today. These and other great apps. And we appreciate the folks over at virtualmickey.com so much for sponsoring the show. Do check out Magical Mouse Radio for great Walt Disney World in-park audio and music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're your source for the magic over there at magicalmouseradio.com. And give us a follow on the social media. This is the time to do it because, guys, you know, I go crazy with the Instagram, the Twitter, the Facebook, Facebook Live. It's going to be nuts. So here's where you follow, at BeOurGuestMike on Twitter and Instagram. Do that today because Monday I hit the airport. I can't wait. And then on Facebook, it's facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Live broadcast coming your way from Walt Disney World, even from the Disney Cruise Line in the next week or so. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So join us over there as well. All right. Well, hey, if you have a few minutes, those Stitcher and iTunes, we love those ratings and reviews over there, too. So we'd appreciate that very much here midweek. All right. Time to get out of here. And we'll be back again on Friday where Ricky shares her thoughts finally on her trip down to Walt Disney World. And we talk a lot about we're going to hit your meal at Tiffin's. Ricky, maybe talk about that Friday
a little bit. Yeah. And I'm not going to tell you what I thought. Because then it would be totally giving it away. So you're just going to have to go and listen to Friday's episode. See, I'm mean.
Hey, by the way, Ricky eats octopus.
Hey, you're giving it away.
I know. I can't help it. All right. So anyway, we're going to get out of here and we'll be back again on Friday talking about firsthand experiences from Ricky down at Walt Disney World. So thanks so much for checking in. So for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike wishing you a great Wednesday. Thank you so much for downloading the show and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.